This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I'll be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go with me to Philippians, the fourth chapter and the 13th verse. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, and we are in our series that we are finishing up on the ABCs of faith, the ABCs of faith. And I really want to talk about persistence, which I'm going to cover a lot of areas in talking about persistence, but I think that if I just put it all under that one title, it'll help us. Philippians, the fourth chapter and the 13th verse says, I can do not some things, but what, class? All things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Now, KJV simply says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. The writer here says, I am ready for anything. And that's where I need you to be in faith, that no matter what comes with my faith, I can tackle it. You got it? I am ready for anything, and I am equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. And so you need to be ready for anything and understand that you are not less than anything, but because Jesus lives on the inside of you, you have everything you need to be confident, to be at peace, and to conquer anything in life. Does that make sense? And so you have to really understand that. Somebody say, I can, and I will. And that's what persistence is all about, being persistent. One thing I think about learning to be, one way you can learn to be persistent, watch this now, is to learn to be consistent. You got it. And that is something that I've really tried to be in my life, as a very consistent person. I don't think I'm perfect, but I think I do a pretty good job in that. I'm a very consistent person. I'm consistent in my mindset, in my perspective. I'm consistent in how I do things. And I think that consistency really builds a lot in your life and gives you the ability just to be persistent. If you are consistent, then you can be persistent, all right? So you have to understand that you know, there's a grace that is on you. We've talked about this, that for you to win in life, but you have to stay in the fight. You always hear me say, if you stay in the fight, what's going to happen? You're going to win. If you keep swinging, what's going to happen? You're going to hit something, right? Because the Bible teaches that us that he always causes us to triumph, and he always causes us to win in Christ. And so you're winning even when it looks like you're losing. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Just look at your neighbor and say, he's just reviewing. He's going over some things, because I want you to understand the importance of understanding that you have everything you need right now to win in every area of your life. If you got this word, you got everything you need. You just got to mix it with faith so that way you can get results in life. And the key is, once I get in faith, I've got to stay in faith, and I've got to stay persistent. I'm going to keep making my confessions. I'm going to keep declaring the word of God. I'm going to keep the right perspective. Like, I'm not going to back up because I don't see things working out the way I have believed for them to work out yet, because you got to understand, everything's a process. If you stay in faith, it is going to happen in your life, all right? So to the degree that you have a resolve to do things God's way, you will get God results in your life, all right? Matthew, the sixth chapter, in the 33rd verse, very familiar passage of scripture, it says, but seek ye what, class? First, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is his way of doing and being right, all right? That's at the end of the day, that is just a real easy way to understand. It is his way of doing and being right. So if I seek first the kingdom of God, his way of doing right, his way of being right, and his righteousness, because it is not our righteousness, but it is his righteousness, you got it, that we have. Because the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. But thank God that when he sent his son Jesus to die for us and to redeem the work of Christ, a whole lot came with that, and he put his righteousness on us, all right? And so it is his righteousness. He says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, watch this, then all these things shall be added unto you, all right? So in a society where they say you chase paper, I disagree. You chase Jesus and all the other things will show up. Does that make sense? Yeah, you got. I mean, listen. I know people who are chasing paper, and they'll go to they're from state to state, and from here to here, and from job to job. And you know, and I'm not saying never leave a job. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, make sure that you're not chasing money. You got it. You got it. Chase Jesus. You got it. Chase His way of doing and being right. And if you do that, everything else will fall into place. Does that make sense? All right. Galatians 6 and 9. Give me some more proof text before we jump into our first point. It says, I'm going to need your help, class. Pay close attention. And let us not be weary. All right. Let us not be weary in what? Well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we just don't quit. We shall reap if we faint not. And so even though things take us by surprise, they don't take God by surprise. And God already knows what He's going to do in your life and in your situation. And so you can't be weary in well-doing. You can't be, I'm just telling you, sometimes you'll be in faith. Have you ever been in faith for something and it hasn't showed up yet? And if you're not careful, the enemy will try to get you to second guess. And in your mind, you're like, I know I'm doing things. I'm living right. I'm tithing. I'm doing, you know, and in those situations, you just got to keep holding on. You know, in those situations, you just got to stay in the fight. You got it? When you know you are doing the right things, you got it? Even though what you're believing for has not showed up yet, what do? You keep doing the right things. And if you keep doing that, it'll show up in your life. Does that make sense? All right. So we're going to, if you're going to, you know, win in the midst of challenges, you must be persistent. And if you're going to be persistent, you're going to need to do several things. Everybody say number one. Number one, you must be established in His settled word. You must be established in God's word. The Bible says it is settled forever. So God's word is truth. And how many know God's word does not change? All right. I don't care what culture tells you. God's word does not change. I don't care. People say, well, you know, he's more of a God of grace now than he was then. No, that's not true. You got it. God's word never changes. You got it. You know, culture would tell you it's OK to do this. And, you know, it's OK to do. You know, I heard somebody say the other day, you know, being a virgin, you know, now that's like a thing of the past. That's not, you know, that doesn't happen anymore. Like the Bible didn't change. If you are not married, if you are not married and you are having sexual relationships, the Bible has not changed. That is still fornication. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. And I'm not being mean, but I'm just saying the Bible doesn't change. Like I can't get up here. Pastor, how do you feel? You know, what do you think marriage is? Marriage is what it's always been between one man and one woman. Like, I'm not going to get up here and fuss about that. The Bible doesn't change. God's word is settled in heaven forever. So the best thing you can do is make sure that you know that the word hasn't changed. So when you see something that goes against what the word says, I don't even got to fight it. I don't even have to, you know, go back and forth, but my conviction is the word has never changed, and I'm going to stick with the word of God. Does that make sense? I don't want the word to change. You got it? Why? Because in the redemptive work of Christ, salvation was made for me. I don't want that to change. Healing was made for me. I don't want that to change. You got prosperity was made for me. I don't want that to change. Well, if I don't want that to change, I got to understand none of it changes. Does that make sense? So the word is always going to be the word, all right? The word of God is our final authority. You got it. It is our compass that we live our life by, and we must trust the word if you don't trust anything else. Trust the word. Everybody say trust the word. Numbers, the 23rd chapter and the 19th verse. Numbers, the 23rd chapter and the 19th verse. And just by the way, I was talking to someone the other day, and, you know, and that's okay. I don't mind people asking me what I feel and how I believe and, you know, and those kind of things. Or Pastor, I don't hear you talk much about this, or you don't say anything about politics. Well, because I'm here to teach the gospel. And so it is my job to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not my job to be a politician. You got it? I personally don't believe that they mesh together very well. You understand what I'm saying? You don't really want to know how I believe, because I don't think either side would like the way I believe. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just going to tell you. So I stay away from that. You understand what I'm saying? But one thing you can never deny, even though you've never heard me say anything about any of that, Pastor always teaches the truth of God's word. And if I just stick to the truth of God's word, everything is going to be all right. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. And I understand that that's not going to make everybody happy, but I'm just telling you, we've been here 16 years. You got it? And look at what God has done with me just teaching the word. Why would I change? Come on, somebody. Oh, y'all getting a little quiet on me. Praise the Lord. It's okay. I ain't mad. You got it. You know, but, you know, and I get it. But it makes me laugh when people ask how I feel, because I'm like, you know, I believe the word. You got it? I believe the word. So anytime you want to know how pastor feels about a situation, go to the word. What does the word say? That's how pastor feels. Can I get a?
Amen.
Now give the Lord a big hand praise. I get my own hand clap one way or the other. Well, no, yeah, you know, because, you know, just praise the Lord, all right? All right. So, Numbers, the 23rd chapter in the 19th verse. Numbers, the 23rd chapter in the 19th verse. God is not a man. We can just stop right there and thank the Lord. He's not a man, right? He's not a man that should lie, because men will lie. You got it? Neither the son of man that he should repent. Watch this. The writer says, hath he said it? Watch. Listen at the conviction of this. He says, hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Like he says, listen, I don't even question the ability of God or the authenticity of God. If God said it, he's going to do it. Watch this. And hath he not spoken it, and shall he not make it good? And so the writer has this conviction. Like, do you not know who our God is? Like, if God said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass in your life. You got it? And so you have to have a conviction of the word of God that no matter what happens in your life, if it's the enemy tries to jump on you with the health challenge, that listen, have God not already said that I'm healed? So I'm going to walk in my healing. I'm going to receive my, I'm going to go to the doctor. I will take the medicine. I will even have the surgery, and I'm not going to be in fear. I'm going to be in faith. Come on, somebody. Because whether you believe it or not, healing comes several ways. Come on, somebody. See, you can be so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. Say, no, I'm not taking no medicine. Jesus, he is my doctor. And yes, he is the great physician. And I do agree with that. But I also agree that he has given doctors wisdom to help us in our bodies. Does that make sense? So you have to understand the importance of that. So don't get in fear over medicine. Oh, pastor, I read. That's your first problem. You Googled it. You Google something that you don't even have. You got it. And then you said it. And faith coming by, right? And so don't do that. You got it. You know, well, yeah, but you know medicines have side effects. You know, and it is true that people have experienced side effects. But if I ever take some medicine, before I take it, I hold it up. You got it? And say, Father, I thank you that this medicine will be helpful to me and will not harm me. I curse any side effects in the name of Jesus. You understand? And I take the medicine. You got it? And then it does whatever the doctor said it was going to do, and it's not going to do anything else. And then when the, you know, what's antibiotics? 14 days. When the 14 days is over, I'm good, and I move on about my life, right? I'm not going to be in fear. I'm taking it. And then when I take it, I feel a little bit funny in my stomach. You got it? Ain't that you been fine. Ain't nothing been wrong with you. You ain't had a headache in 6 months. All of a sudden you took a, amoxicillin? Everybody. Well, not everybody, but that's just like a common antibiotic. Am I right about it? You know, so you just took some amoxicillin. You understand? You know, you're like, I'm feeling kind of, I feel a little pressure in my head. You know, my back is hurting a little bit. No, man, that's the devil. You understand what I'm saying? And you got to cast all that stuff away and just take it and go about your day. When all that stuff comes, you got to, no, man, forget that I'm healed and I'm whole in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? Yeah, you got to be established in his word, that your only criteria is the word of God, all right? So, you know, you just that's it. My only criteria is the word of God. My only criteria is the word of God, not negative environments. The only criteria for my life is the word of God, not negative people. The only criteria for my life is the word of God. You can't allow negative people to pull you backwards, all right? Because they'll start causing you to look at the natural when you were walking by faith. Right? And so, but you got to understand, you got here by faith, and you're going to keep moving forward by faith. All right? You didn't get here in the natural trying to figure out everything in the natural. You read God's word. You believe God's word. You acted it on God's word. And now that's why you have the results that you have. Well, how you start is how you continue. So you got to keep moving forward in his settled word. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, you know, you got to keep walking by faith. I can't afford to allow negative people to pull me into their reality. My faith is my reality. Does that make sense? Yeah. So never scale back your expectations because of the small-mindedness of others. Everybody don't believe the way you believe. Everybody doesn't have a conviction of the word the way you have a conviction of the word. You got it? And so don't fuss with them. You got it? But just make sure you keep your conviction of the word and you keep moving forward in faith, right? So, you know, you have to understand, you know what the word says. You got to believe what the word says. You got to stand on the word regardless of anything you're going. See, regardless of any situation that you're going, that's going on in your life, you got to in the natural. If you are a child of God, you are saved, you are healed, you are redeemed, you are blessed. Favor is on your life. You are the head and not the tail. You are. I don't care about no natural. Come on, somebody. What a doctor said and the lawyer said, and I appreciate all that, and that all has its place. But at the end of the day, my faith is my reality that I get from the word of God, and I'm always going to move forward in faith. Does that make sense? All right. Everybody say number two. Number two, you must be excited about his sovereign will. You must be excited about his sovereign will. What do you mean? God wants to help you. You got to wake up realizing, man, this is the day the Lord has made. Like, I am not by myself. God wants to help me today. God is going to cause favor to show up in my life today. That miracle money I've been waiting for is going to show up today. Them things that I've been believing in my life, they're going to show up because God wants to help me. Everybody say, God wants to help me. Now say, God is helping me. Ephesians 3 and 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh within us. Now, I have taught you this very well, and this teaches us that God has the ability to go beyond the scope of our present thinking, that whatever I'm thinking, God says, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that. And when you start increasing your faith and start believing for bigger, God says, I can do that. But just so you know, I can do better than that. Why? Because he's able to do exceed. Like, watch this. You will never get to God's level. Right? You will never get to the level where God says, oh, son, daughter, that's all I can do. You got it? God says, if you can believe for it, I can produce it in your life. And if you believe for 10 times that, I can produce it in your life. And if you can believe for 100 times that, I can produce it in your life. Why? I am able to do exceeding abundantly and above all that you can ask or think, all right? So that is why that when we're in faith, we should be in this constant state of expectation and joy. And you have to make sure that every day you are in expectation. When I was putting this lesson together, I was like, okay, so why is it that I'm always in expectation? Because I'm trying to help you to figure out what to tell you to do to always be in expectation. And I realized every day I wake up in the morning, I pray. That's the first thing I do. I pray and I start going over all my different confessions. You got it? I'm believing for this. I'm believing for that. I'm praying over my family. I'm praying over my kids, you know, and I'm always changing my confessions around, right? As my kids get older, you know, my confessions change for them. You know, back in the day, I just wanted them to make good grades and get through school. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, things are changing now. And I told lady the other day, hey, babe, we're changing our confession when it comes to our kids. While our kids are walking into adulthood now, right? And I said, you know, so we got to confess that our kids are minimum six-figure income earners. Minimum. At the end of the day, they make at least $100,000. You got it? Why? So watch this. So now that I'm praying that every day, watch this, it puts me in expectation. Now that I'm praying every day that LaCante and I are in complete agreement and unity, that we work together as a team and we are an unstoppable force, there's nothing by any means that shall be able to hurt us. Like, so I'm in expectation, you got it, for our marriage. Does that make sense? I'm praying for miracle money for you and for miracle money for WLCC. So I'm in expectation for that. And so the way you get up and you get an expectation is you wake up, you spend a little time with Jesus, start declaring his word, and man, you get an expectation. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, and that's what, watch this, that's what causes you to be in joy. Right? Because faith is not frustrating. But let's be honest, how many of us faith people in the room besides me have ever gotten frustrated? I'll put both hands up. So it doesn't, watch this. So when I get frustrated, it is a flip of a switch. I said, oh, hold on, no. I got frustrated. I got to get out of this because this is not faith. You got it? You know, so I got to get out of frustration and I got to get back over to faith because faith is where it's at. Faith is where it's happening. Does that make sense? All right. So I fully expect God to move on my behalf. Watch this. Even if what I'm believing for has not showed up yet. Even if I'm in a tough time, even if I'm in a situation that I would rather not be in, and in life, sometimes you are in seasons that you would rather not be in, but you've got to stay, watch this, in expectation and in joy regardless. Because your joy is not based on where you are today, but your joy is based on the expectation of where you know God is taking you, that He's already declared you're in from your beginning and things are getting better. Does that make sense? All right, so you got to understand that. All right, so let's review in the back. Let's put up point number one, you must be established in His settled word. Point number two, you must be excited about His sovereign will. And then point number three, you must eliminate satanic worries. You must eliminate satanic worries. Let me just help you. Let me just number one. Just everybody say number one. You know what we've already done once. Everybody say letter A. Letter A, yeah. Yeah. So just letter A. The devil has zero power in your life. So you have no need to be scared of him. He has zero power in your life. You got it. I was around some guys not too long ago, and they were talking about something, and you know, and got caught up in some, you know, some crazy stuff about somebody and working roots and, you know, just all that kind of stuff, you know. And I could tell a couple guys they didn't want to talk about it no more. And I'm like, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Can't nobody put nothing on me. You understand what I'm saying? The blood of Jesus is all up and down running through my veins. You understand what I'm saying? But if you're not careful, you'll hear a conversation. Oh, I'm getting away from that, you know, because I don't know about, I'm talking about witches and, you know, man, but you have to understand, and I'm not telling you to go get caught up in any of that stuff. Y'all know better than that. You got it. I hope you ain't getting caught up in none of that stuff. And I hope you ain't hanging around nobody. You got it. And I hope you ain't doing, I don't know. I don't know all that stuff. Yeah, I don't, you know, my father used to tell, I remember when I was a little boy, telling people, you better quit fooling around with them Ouija boards. I still don't know what a Ouija board is. You understand what I'm saying? But just don't do that stuff. My daddy said, don't mess with them tarot cards and don't mess with them Ouija boards. So I hope you ain't doing none of that stuff. You got it. Somebody said to me one time, you know, a young kid came to church. He really liked it. He said, what's your sign? J-E-S-U-S. All right. So you have to eliminate satanic worries. Oh, man, I got to go. Eliminate satanic. So watch this. Watch this. Choose not. Everybody say not. Not to believe the evil report. We only believe the report of the Lord. What did I say? We only believe the report of the Lord. Okay, I got to give this to you, and I got to give you at least one more. And I got 30 seconds, so we got to do this quick. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, you can just jot this down. They'll put it up on the screen. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. That's good to know because, watch this, if somebody else went through it and got through it, that means you can go through it and get through it. All you need to remember is what, class? That God will never let you down. Man, He's a man of His word. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. You need to remember that. You need to make sure that you have that scripture, you know, somewhere in your phone. I lean on that scripture. I rely on that scripture that God is never going to let me down. He's never going to let me be pushed past my limit. If I'm dealing with it, I can handle it. Does that make sense? Yeah. And He'll always be there to help you come through. Now, I'm not supposed to stay in it. David says, yea, though I walk through. All right. So don't, well, Lord, I guess just where I'm going to be. No, I'm coming through this thing. I'm coming out of this thing. Does that make sense? All right. And then number four, you must embrace speaking the word. You must embrace speaking the word. Oh, man, I really need to give you number five. Y'all want just number four? You want number four and five? You want both? Okay, real quick. You must embrace speaking the word. Faith is released by the words of your mouth. Faith is released by the words of your mouth. Faith is released by the words of your mouth. Faith is released by the words of your mouth. So the question is, what are you saying? Watch. You remember Jairus, how he went to Jesus? And Jairus said, Jesus said, I'll come to your house and I'll, you know, pray for your daughter and I'll heal her. On the way to Jesus, going to Jairus' house, the woman with the issue of blood, you know, so Jesus had to stop. He had to minister to her. When he gets done ministering to her, all of a sudden Jairus' men show up and say, hey, don't trouble Jesus. Don't trouble the master anymore. You know, your daughter's dead. Y'all remember that? Mark, the fifth chapter, the 35th verse, the 36th verse. I was reading this and it just jumped out at me the other day. While he yet spake, all right, this is talking about Jesus, there came from the rulers of the synagogue, of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus what?
Heard.
What?
Heard.
That was?
Spoken.
Let me add to that. As soon as Jesus heard that negative word, what's that after the word spoken, what's that, those next two words? So he hears something negative. He doesn't allow that to just be in the environment. He's about to cast that thing down. Why? By opening his mouth. You got it? He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe, right? So the moment something negative came, watch this. Just take your time. So the moment the enemy sends something negative to you, immediately he wants fear to show up. Immediately he wants you to start appraising the possibility of losing even though you haven't lost. And Jesus understood how this worked to the degree that even when Jesus heard it, you would think, oh, well, Jesus is going to go heal him anyways, so it don't matter. No, Jesus had to make sure he kept him in faith. So Jesus heard it immediately. He said, oh, hold on. Don't be afraid, because I know that that negative word wants to try to bring fear, but only believe. And in your life, every time the enemy tries to put some negative thoughts in your mind or somebody says something negative to you, you watch this. You got to cast that down and replace it with the word of God. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Let's go home, Court. We got to play something soft. All right. Number five. Everybody say number five. You must enjoy spiritual worship. All right. You must enjoy. Do you not know that there's a difference between praise and worship? Matter of fact, let's get some praise music going on for a second. I'm sorry, I should have told y'all this. I was going to do this today, praise the Lord. So, how do I say this? All of it is for Jesus. But we seem to get a lot out of praise. Because we get to pick them up and put them down. And, you know, we clap and, you know, and that's good. You got it. But and we like it because, you know, it's praise. Y'all ready? All right, come on. Matter of fact, let's stand all over the building. Are we going to sing a song? The Lord has made. I will rejoice. Come on, I will rejoice. And be glad. I can say it. Can y'all sing it? I will rejoice. Can you move? This is the day. Y'all know I got a river of life? Okay. Made the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open up prison doors. Set the captives free. I got a river of life. Come on, praise them all over the building. Come on, praise them all over the building. Do you love them? It's funny. It's funny, you just do something for you know, an illustration and you can feel the Spirit of God. It's funny how you just do something for illustration, but when the praise starts going up, man, you start feeling good. You start saying, man, I'm going to cast all my care upon him, for he cared for me. I'm not worried about anything. I'm going to pray about everything. I'm going to tell God what I need. I'm going to thank him in advance, and the peace of God is going to show up in my life. You got it? It's something when you just start leaping for joy. It's something when you start waving your hands. You feel good. Watch this. But now let's go to worship. Matter of fact, can we sing Hallelujah? Benny Hinn style. Hallelujah. And praise is good. Watch this. But what we don't understand sometimes is praise really helps us. But worship is all about Him. That's why we tell you during worship, don't be doing that during worship. Because it's, watch this, that's praise. In this moment, our worship is a catalyst for the move of God in our lives. Okay, my singers, help me sing. I don't see... Everybody can sing that. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man. Hey, la boca rosata. Roso toco la boca rosata. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you that you've come to remove every burden and destroy every yoke by the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Isn't He a good God? And right there, in a spirit of worship, it's our worship going up to Jesus as a sweet smelling savor. And it is in this moment, and I need you to catch this, that it is a catalyst for a move of God in our lives. And this is why worship is not just a filler until pastor gets up. This is why you should not be late for church. Because it's an opportunity for us to experience His presence in our lives to help overcome some internal things that are going on or have been going on in our lives through that week. It's a moment in time created just for me and God. That's why we don't do all the clapping and all the yelling, because I need just a little bit of, I understand people going to be around me, and I'm okay with that, but I need a little bit of focus with me and Jesus. I need to talk to Him a little bit about what's been going on in my life, and I need to be a little bit quiet and be a little still so I can hear Him talk to me about how He's working everything out for my good. It's a moment in time where I turn my concerns, my fears, maybe some worries all over into worship. Because worship takes away worry and it reminds me that God is able. Worship takes away worry and reminds me that God is able. Worship takes away any fear and reminds me that God is able. Worship takes away any uncertainty and it reminds me that God is able. And so what I want you to do is I want you to start doing this every day. I know we got to go and we're going to leave in just a minute. We're going to pray and I'm going to let you go. And because there's nothing wrong with praise. Y'all know that. And I like praise. Sometimes if I want to get going, you know, I'll turn something on. I'll turn on old school Kirk Franklin. You understand what I'm saying? And I just, you know, but there's those times where, man, if I'm really trying to hear from God, maybe I need to just get in my car and just drive somewhere. Park on the other side of Walmart where there's no other cars. Park and just turn on worship music. Make sure my doors are locked and just close my eyes and say, Father, I just need You. And I worship You right now. And as I'm worshiping You, I am inviting You into my life. I am inviting You into my situation. I'm inviting You to speak to me, to give me the clarity that I need, to give me the wisdom I need, to give me the grace I need, to give me the strength I need to keep moving forward. Because maybe this week was heavy, but if you can just get into worship. Maybe it was a little bit chaotic, but if you can just get into worship, worship will replace all of those things. And when you leave out of worship, you always feel better than when you came. What am I saying? God's presence is powerful, and God's presence is important, and you need God's presence every day, not just on Sundays. And so our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's just do it right now. And believers are praying because his presence is in the room. And believers are praying all over the building. I know it's a little bit different, but just if you're not saved and you need to be saved, I want you to repeat this prayer. I know a few of you have to move, and that's fine. You guys do what you got to do, but everybody else can just stay still. If you need to rededicate your life, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're a Christian and need to repent, I want you to pray this prayer. If you want to join this amazing church, all you have to do is fill out that connection card that we talked about at the beginning of service. You can do it by QR code, or you can do it by the paper one that's in the seat pocket. But listen, we're going to pray this prayer, but before we do, if you give your life to Jesus today, I need you to fill out that card. If you're going to rededicate your life to the Lord, I need you to fill out that card. If you are going to join this amazing church, I need you to fill out that card. Please make sure that you follow up. That's the whole part of the whole persistence and consistency, following all the way through with something. Then I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to fill out this. I'm going to turn it in. I'm going to rededicate my life to Jesus. I'm going to fill out this. I'm going to turn it in. I'm going to join this amazing church today. And maybe you've been waiting to join our church for whatever reason. I'm telling you, today is the day to go ahead. There's a power in being connected. The church you go to and the word you hear, it really does matter. It really does matter. And so we're going to pray this prayer today. I want every person in this room to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big praise?